You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 333. And in this episode, Jason and I are going to continue on with the discussion that we started in the last episode, where we were talking about common challenges or tough challenges in marriage and how to handle those in a God-glorifying way. And specifically coming at this from the perspective of husbands, primarily because Jason and I are men and we know the experience from that side of things and not from women's. So primarily focused in on the husband's role in these kinds of challenges. And we ended episode one talking about communication. You know, when a husband and wife disagrees on a particular issue, which happens, there are different perspectives and there are challenges that then stem from that. And Jason was making the point, you know, that communication is really important. And Jason, I thought that would be a good place to start, just to continue on that topic, since we didn't really get to explore it that much in the last episode. So how does a husband engage well in terms of communication for both good conflict resolution in marriage, but also for relational connection as well?
It's a big question. I think a lot of times when there is communication breakdown, it stems from, and it's not necessarily that the couple isn't talking at all, but there's not the heart connection that there needs to be. And I think of how some people have broken it down. Like, there's different levels of communication. When we are greeting somebody that we don't know that well, we usually start with small talk, right? Just surface level, hey, how you doing? How's your day been? Talking about the weather, that kind of stuff. And then when you get to know somebody a little bit more, you start to share, here's how I've seen things. Here's my opinion. And that's another level of relational connection, because you're now saying you're inviting someone into your world. And then when it comes to what should be in the exclusive marriage relationship, there's going to be a higher level of intimacy that you share. And sometimes this is going to be just with your wife. And I will say, like, with trusted friends like you and I, for example, good friends that are men share stuff that's very deep and personal. But you're not going to share those kinds of things with just anybody. So that's kind of a broad understanding of how communication works. You go deeper as that relationship grows. And what often happens is this relational breakdown stems from there not being that heart connection. Those conversations about the needs and really more her, you know, connecting with her feelings. She wants, you know, a lot of times men understand this. Women are more naturally prone to talk about their feelings. That's, you know, just call me biased, but that's just a fact. Men have a harder time opening up about their feelings, but that doesn't change the fact that your wife wants to hear from your heart, if I can put it that way. She wants to know what's going on inside. What are you feeling? She doesn't just want you to state facts like, you know, somebody was grumpy at work today or whatever it might be, or the kids, the kids seem bummed out about how the game went. I mean, yes, all that is good information to share. You got to be talking about those kinds of things, but how do you feel about it? And going a little bit deeper on your communication is really what she's after. And honestly, I would say if you remember back to how the dating relationship was going with her, and this just, if you're struggling with this, think back to when you were pursuing her, you asked her a lot of these heart level questions, if it was going anywhere. I mean, assuming because you're married now, you got to that point. But a lot of times what happens is husbands get, it's like they shift gears once they get married. That pursuit of her heart isn't as passionate, because it's a little bit like, okay, I've reached my goal here. I've found the woman of my dreams. We're married, put a ring on it. We're under one household, but you have now sort of started to coast. And a lot of that coasting shows up primarily in that communication. So, you know, Jamie, the way I explain it to people is, assume that your wife is looking to hear more about your feelings. Just assume that. Assume that she's hungering for that. And that's the, you know, you communicating with her, and she is going to want to be heard. But not just that you hear her, but that you listen. This is what, you know, communication pros talk about, this, that you can hear a lot of things and you're not really listening. You can intake information even, and you're like, yeah, I got it. But a lot of times, and it's not just women, but a lot of times there's a lot of feeling and depth behind those words. And if you don't listen actively to understand her heart, which sometimes is going to require you to, you know, kind of give her that breathing room to share that in an intimate context. You know, maybe it's, if you got family like I do, you got to wait till the kids are in bed. You got to get alone with her and give her that space to share her heart. Going on a walk is maybe my favorite way to go about this, or for going on a drive, if that works better. But so there's something about, I think that when you're in motion, I really think it's like, it might be just this psychological thing, but it works. It's like we're going somewhere together. We're making progress together. And literally, like, I think we have, Whitney and I, my wife and I, have made a lot of progress in times where we were struggling with communication. When we go for a walk, we're moving forward together side by side, and she's sharing her heart, I'm explaining what's on my mind, and you're like, you feel the freedom to go a little bit deeper. Sometimes if you're just on a date, like, especially if you're at a restaurant, and I get it, like, you're going on a date, you're doing the right thing because that's what we encourage men to do with your wife. But there's something about just like, yeah, there's a lot of people around, there's a lot of noise, a lot of distractions, maybe the TV's on because you're at one of those restaurants. It's not always the best place to have those conversations. And yeah, you're going on a date, but you may not be getting to that heart connection level. And so my encouragement is, not that it has to be a walk or a drive, but something like that where you feel like you've got more of an intimate context, a little more space and breathing room to go a level deeper. Because she's always going to be wanting that. And your marriage relationship is going to feel more satisfying when you're there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I don't think that's necessarily unique just to women as well. I think it's easier to have a more meaningful conversation, even with another guy, when you're, you know, working on a project together or something where you're not just like eye to eye across the table. There's just an inherent awkwardness to that, I think, to some degree. But yeah, that sounds like really good, encouragement there. And even just recognizing, you made the comment, sometimes you got to look a little deeper. There's what is being said, and then there's actually what they mean, which could be something totally different than what is being said. And if you're not listening carefully, yeah, you may not catch that, and you may not get the opportunity then to drive down into what's really the concern. You know, is the disagreement as a result of fear, or is it as a result of feeling abandoned, lonely, or is it concern for, you know, children? Is it concern, you know, what actually is the cause of the conflict? And because you could potentially, even, it sounds like, in a good-hearted way, be, you know, pursuing the wrong resolution or solution to a problem that actually the concern is something totally different. And when addressed, you may have greater unity even where there wasn't on the front side. I mean, that's kind of true in life in general, isn't it? I know we run into this in ministry all the time. It's like sometimes you can do the right thing in the wrong way, and sometimes you can do the really slow thing that gets you where you need to still go, but in a slower pace that considers, oh, what is actually the concern people are having here, and move forward that way. How would you say a husband fosters that environment where their wife actually does feel comfortable sharing whatever actually is going on in their mind or heart? Or,
well, I like this metaphor of a colonizer versus an immigrant. I got this from Norman Wright. He's a marriage guy, and he talks about so a colonizer is a guy who comes in and basically has their perspective, and they kind of take over, you know, whatever land it might be, and their hope is that the land will accommodate their needs, and the you know, if there's people already living there, then they're gonna adapt to what the colonizer wants. And the immigrant is a different perspective, because you're moving into a foreign territory, so to speak, but as an immigrant, you're sort of expected to learn the customs, the culture, the language, and adopt new practices of the native people. And so a colonizer versus an immigrant. And in marriage, that means instead of just seeing communication as this one way, I need to bring in my perspective, and I need to make sure I'm understood and people are regarding me, and in this case, my wife is regarding me. And another thing, I guess, is oftentimes a colonizer assumes that they're being understood. An immigrant understands, look, when I go into this, I need to learn the language. I need to be understood, and I need to understand this language. And you know, just to be very frank about it, like, it's good to recognize that men and women communicate in different ways, and that it is a bit of a language learning skill to be able to determine. We talked about just a moment ago how, you know, there's meaning behind words, and sometimes you have to dig a little deeper, and you can't assume that you understood immediately just based on the words. And communication, when you break it down, this is not an exaggeration. I've heard this kind of thing, that when you communicate well, it's basically, it's like 10% of that is the content itself. And then you've got, I think it's like 20 or 30% is the tone in which you deliver that content. And then the remaining, what is that, like 60%, that is all nonverbal. That's those messages you send through your expression, through your posture. Are your hands on your hips? Are you folding your arms? You have a furrowed brow? You know, all these things that we take into account without even register. Sometimes we don't even recognize that is sending a message so much stronger than my words. And so that's why when you're wanting to connect deeper with your wife and have these communication skills develop, I think it's so important that you think about these things. You should at least be aware of how you can come across. For instance, if you kind of surprised her with the timing, maybe she wasn't prepared for a talk, and she's, I don't know, maybe she, you know, is trying to soak in the tub and relax. Might not be a great time for an intense conversation. Or she's, you know, just winding down, it's the end of the day. That's why, you know, I mentioned the walk earlier, because it helps put the tone in the right framework, and the body language. You know, you're walking, you're not standing over her, you know, with your hands on your hips or whatever. You're just communicating in a way side by side. So I think being mindful of those things is super important. Studying your wife, you know, being a student of your wife and learning her language, learning how she receives love best. And, you know, when we, I don't know if we're going to get into the, like, some like sexual issues, but a lot of times men will assume like, okay, I got to buy flowers and take her on this date to the restaurant, and then boom, we're going to be good and things are going to be great for that night. But the reality is, she might not have had any emotional connection in that. Not that the flowers don't mean anything or the date doesn't mean anything, but what she really needs before she wants that like physical kind of intimacy, she wants to have that emotional intimacy at the heart level. And you can't skip that. That's like, I think that's what some men can forget, is you got to connect it with her heart. And that, honestly, that can take some work sometimes, because you could be out of practice. It could be that you've been kind of in a routine, just to be very honest. Like, your marriage should never fall into a routine. I think that's something that a lot of times people, you know, they forget, that when you were dating, when you were pursuing her, there wasn't like any strict routine that went on. There was never like a humdrum, you know, like, oh, this is just how it is. I set my keys down, we get dinner, you know, we watch Netflix, we go to bed, whatever. No, like you plan things out because you had to be intentional. You were planning to do stuff with her, and like the spontaneity of some of those times together, that's what really made the romance come alive. And if you're pursuing her, that will just happen. The routine, there won't be a routine when you're truly pursuing her, because routine indicates lack of effort, lack of drive to get to know her better, to again cultivate that romance, cultivate that marriage relationship. And when you're breaking routine and you're doing things that you maybe haven't done before together, or you haven't done in a while, or you're doing it in a new way, whatever it might be, those are all good signs. But, you know, just maybe some men listening to this, they might be in a little bit of a marriage slumber and they haven't even realized that they've fallen into this routine and they've stopped pursuing their wife. And they maybe they don't even realize how that could be just fracturing their relationship bit by bit. It's not a the routine thing is not like a sudden terrible event. It's a slow kind of, I would just call it a degrading thing on your marriage relationship that happens over stretches of time. So trying to get away from that as much as possible and looking for new ways to understand her is very important.
Yeah, since you brought up the topic of sex, might as well ask a question there, because I think that a lot of times, you know, I know you've heard this, I know I've heard this, you know, we hear this as pastors all the time, is, you know, guys come to us and they say, my marriage is great, my relationship with my wife is great, all these things are great, except she never is in the mood. She never has any desire for, you know, sexual activity and things. But yet they're affirming or stating that all other aspects of their marriage are great. How do you begin to sort of walk a husband through, you know, that particular issue or that approach to that issue in light of what you just argued there?
Mm-hmm. Well, because when you're having that heart connection, then that opens up the freedom to have the kinds of conversations, just honest conversations that need to be had, like related to sexual intimacy. And honestly, with that, it's not a thing where there's just zero understanding on either people on either person's part, where the husband has no understanding about the wife's, you know, hormones or whatever it might be when you talk about the mood, or the wife doesn't understand that he has, you know, he has this strong urge and desire. It's honestly, it's just that they need to be on the same page and talk through those things together. When you look at the Bible, there's a lot of wisdom on, you know, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, makes it very clear, obviously, sex in the marriage covenant is a good, God-honoring gift. It's something to be cultivated and enjoyed. So the question then is, okay, so if we're not on the same page, it seems like we're, you know, there's some rejection going on, which can, you know, that can happen both ways, honestly, but it more often would probably happen. The husband would feel that way. And then there's just some kind of bitterness that can build up and, you know, accusations kind of out of left field because of that bitterness. And honestly, they start to give up, like, oh, it's just not happening for us. And that is, not something to settle for. When your marriage is getting stale like that, that's a red flag. That is something where you need to do something about that. I'll just read real briefly from 1 Corinthians 7, because it talks directly about this. It says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5 and following, which right after, this is right after it says, the husband and wife don't have full authority over their own bodies. That actually, when you get married, you give authority of your body over to your spouse, which is kind of an incredible statement in itself. But then he says in verse 5, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So obviously, there's this spiritual element where, so if there's an agreed upon time of prayer, which I will just say very honestly, I don't know that anyone has ever said, you know, a lot of couples have told me they're not having sex. It's never been because we're praying. We're praying too much. We have this prayer retreat going on for like 5 years. That's our problem. No, that's not the issue. It is that there's not a emotional connection laying the groundwork for that physical intimacy. And because it talks about Satan tempting you because of your lack of self-control, he's saying there's this spiritual warfare element that, you know, he's actually trying to divide married couples. This is Satan's strategy, by the way. If you want to know, he wants to push people who are not in the marriage covenant together to have that physical intimacy as much as possible. That's what he's always pushing for. And he wants to push those inside the marriage covenant apart from each other as much as possible. So he wants to go directly against God's design. And you have to be aware of that. You have to know that as a man, you can't just sit on that being... You can't just accept that as a reality of, okay, this is just, you know, and I'm, of course, we're not talking about those exceptions where there's like medical, you know, legitimate medical reasons where it's not happening. That's not what we're talking about. And those, we want to be sensitive and recognize those happen. But in the cases where it's literally because stonewall divisions have gone up, there's been bitterness, there's been lack of intimacy on the emotional front, and that's why. So what has to happen is as the man, as the husband, you need to have that frank conversation. And I would say begin with first pursuing her in the ways we just talked about. That's why communication is going to be the foundation for this whole thing. But if you're still not, you know, seeing her being receptive when you're working to understand her and you're trying to have that heart connection, you just have to be able to have those kind of conversations and say, look, here's how I feel about this. You know, when I, let's just give an example. When a husband says, you know, I've tried and I get rejected time after time, he needs to talk with her. And guess what? That's going to be talking about feelings. Talk with her about how that feels. And yes, there are seasons of like pregnancy or stress, There's times where hormones are really wonky, and of course we don't blame the wives for having hormones, of course, but or like just the kids. The kids are so demanding, so you know she's exhausted after a full day. These are just realities, but you got to talk through them. You can't just say, well, that's our new normal, because it's not going to get better if you do that. It's going to get worse. It naturally will go down that track and get worse and worse, unless you take that step of saying, look, we need to talk about this. So I would say when he's broaching it, never make accusations. Just never say like, hey, it's your fault. You know, you're always saying no. Just bring up how you feel. She will be more receptive to that, and ask to learn, say things like, help me understand where you're coming from on this, because I want to know, you know, why is it that your knee-jerk reaction time after time is rejection? You got to talk about it. And instead of seeing it as a, you know, opponents trying to win an argument, and quoting Bible verses back and forth at each other, I just quoted scripture, of course, but I'm making the point that this is important, but you can also, if husbands and wives get into this, it's kind of a bad thing actually to start quoting scripture back and forth in a weaponized way. What you should instead do is say, look, we're on the same team here. God has united us together, and he's brought us this far, and what can we do to improve our relationship? And so that we can have that kind of intimacy that we both want ultimately. Again, you can't assume that she is going to be open and receptive if you haven't pursuing her as a whole person. If you haven't been, you know, wanting to connect with her at the heart level, which I keep repeating, I know, but for emphasis, I'm saying that, then it's just going to be impossible to have these kinds of conversations in a productive way, and she is going to. Oftentimes she might even feel like she's being used or whatever it might be, it objectified, as opposed to you want to know her as a person. And honestly, if those kinds of conversations are just so challenging to have together, this is where you can bring in a pastor. This is where you can bring in a marriage counselor, but do it as a team. I encourage, even if you initially have maybe meetings one-on-one or individually meeting, be very quick to meet together, because otherwise it can quickly become a he said, she said kind of thing, and I've rarely seen that go well. But if you have the couple, if you as a couple sit down together and talk through what's going on in your marriage, what are some roadblocks, what are some issues with communication, why is it that, you know, she's not feeling it, where is that coming from, what's the root issue going on there, and how is he feeling about the rejection of it all? And when you can talk about it, that just opens doors towards progress. If you don't talk about it, it will continue to get worse. And so that's the main thing I'm saying, is being honest about where you're at, but expressing that in a non-accusatory way.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice and good reminders too, that, you know, the more you talk, the easier it is to talk, in the sense that, I don't know if this is true for you, Jason, but I know, like, for me, you know, when you have those really personal things that you need to share and you haven't really been sharing them, you know, for a while, it's like twice as hard to actually then share them. You know, and I think that probably is part of that discussion that happens a lot for couples, is like, we don't talk about it. And then the longer we don't talk about it, the harder then it is to talk about it. And then when we finally do talk about it, it just comes out, and it's not in a way that, like, hey, like you said earlier, you know, considering, is this the right time? You know, is this the right place? Is this the right, you know, way of getting into the conversation? So it's almost better to some degree to just be like, even if you haven't had the conversation for a while, stop and be like, hey, can we specifically have this conversation and put a date on it or a time or a location, you know, whatever. And then it's feels like it would be a lot easier to then get into it when you get into that space. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think just remembering, you know, this is how God designed things to be, that we would be relational beings. And you will feel there's going to be so many other problems that come in life when you aren't communicating well. And so that's why, honestly, maybe one of the greatest life skills there is learning to communicate well, because it covers so many areas and so many problems in life. At the root, it's these communication breakdowns. And not only are we relational beings, but we are sexual beings. And so I think it's, and we shouldn't be ashamed of that. That's how God designed us, right? Male, female. And in the marriage covenant, you have that right expression of that reality. And it's a God-glorifying good thing. And so even if you're thinking, well, you know, I don't want it to be all about me. I don't want it to just be my, you know, personal desires, and I just want to make her accommodate me. No, it's not even just about that. Like, it's part of how God designed marriage to work, is that you would regularly be having sex, and that is a huge source of intimacy, connection, and renewal of that marriage covenant. And so don't treat it as a my, you know, individual needs is the only thing at stake here, because yes, you have those strong urges and desires which need to be channeled rightly, but the bigger picture is God designed this thing called marriage, and he said sex belongs there.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think too, I wonder to what degree is aligning expectation with reality important as well? Because I could totally see, I don't know that this is always true, but I could totally see husbands, you know, coming into it with an unrealistic expectation, you know, given, like, as men, that desire is pretty intense. And so a lot of times it's like, well, of course, everybody has that same orientation or way of approaching it. And so it could actually be that my expectation is misaligned, or maybe even it's a subtle form of idolatry. In the sense that, am I really looking to my wife to be God to me? And I think for men, a lot of times sex can very easily become that, right? Or try to become that, where we look for satisfaction and completion in that, which is a place only God can fulfill. You know, I'm very much convinced that when you hear these couples say, oh, we got divorced because we fell out of love, what they're actually telling you is, I asked my spouse to be God to me, and they weren't. And so now I'm going to go find somebody else who I'm going to ask to be God to me, and they also won't. And I wonder, to what degree does that play a role as well, of just like, okay, before I talk to my wife, you know, come in, have I worked on the things on my side first? In terms of, and I know, you know, as a single person, I think this way a lot. You know, when you have like temptation, for example, you often have to stop and be like, all right, how's my relationship with the Lord first, right? Because that plays a huge role in those kinds of things. Sometimes it's like, no, literally, my desire is connection with the Lord, and I'm just turning that into a desire, you know, for sexual activity or, you know, something like that. But it's really not that at this particular moment. Or maybe it is a relational thing, right? Where it's like, I actually feel really disconnected with my wife, and I'm looking to sex to be the means by which, you know, we're connected again. To what degree is looking at that side of things also helpful?
Yeah, definitely is, because we can make idols of any good God-created thing. And it, whether it's comfort, which that's another really common one, is people make their idol is comfort, And so they don't actively cultivate their marriage relationship, because sometimes that means having uncomfortable conversations or making extra effort in areas where they'd rather just kind of sit back and coast. And so I've seen a lot of that where, like, it's apathy that's the almost the bigger issue than people looking to their spouse to be their God. But that happens. It definitely happens. But just my personal experience, I've seen comfort and apathy be the bigger problems. And so then what happens is, you know, his side of things is, well, she's not meeting my demands or not meeting my needs. And her side of things is, he doesn't care about me as a person. He's just, and so I think that when you have a mutual understanding that, we're going to be serving one another, because that's what love is. It's self-giving and this is all for God's glory. It's not because, not looking to you to fulfill my needs, but I want to serve you and bless you. And so that's both, you know, when it comes to communication, that's like listening well, and it's serving in different areas around the house with the kids, that kind of thing. And then in the marriage bed, it's serving each other there as well. So he's not just focused on what he wants, and she's not just focused on what she wants. It's how can I serve you? What can I do for you? Which again, that builds that intimacy and it's in that vulnerable context, because you're having this exclusive relationship with only this one person, as it should be. And so you get to express that level of service and care and vulnerability in just a powerful way, which again, this is how God designed it. It's an awesome thing when you're able to approach the marriage relationship with that service mindset. And that's really, you know, when you look at Song of Solomon, he is pursuing her, and she's like excited about that. And I think, like, even, and I would say this, like, so that you don't feel like everything is about sex, there's so many ways you can honor her and tell her how much you appreciate her in non-sexual ways. That will build her up and give her confidence, that kind of thing. And that will later play into when you're in the marriage bed. But it goes back to thinking first about, okay, how can I serve her? And that's as a husband, I think, like, that's what we're called to lead the way in doing. And generally speaking, if the husband is good at that mindset and good at leading the way in serving her, the wife will want to reciprocate and want to do the same for him.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.